from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, March 15th. Coming up, we'll continue our series, Reflections from Side Effects Public Media, looking back at the last year during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we hear from a nurse at a long-term care facility. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. It was on this day 1 year ago that the first COVID-19 case was announced in Champaign County. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows takes a look back.
Champaign County's first confirmed COVID-19 case was a woman in her 50s who was recovering at home. At the time, there were fewer than 100 diagnosed COVID-19 cases in all of Illinois and no reported deaths. But Champaign-Urbana Public Health Administrator Julie Pride said she expected pending test results to reveal more COVID-19 cases in Champaign County, and she warned that the coronavirus was not going away anytime soon.
Pandemics are not short-term events. Pandemics go usually a year or more, and they come in waves.
The total number of COVID-19 cases in Champaign County has grown from that one case to more than 18,500 today. More than 130 county residents with the coronavirus have died. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
More than $7 billion from the latest COVID relief package will go to community health centers across the nation. The money is needed to help clinics reaching underserved communities continue to respond to the pandemic, says Cyrus Winnett. He leads the Illinois Primary Health Care Association, which represents Illinois' 52 community health centers. Winnett says $1 billion in funding will go toward a workforce development program, offering scholarships and loan repayment to address workforce shortages and disparities in communities of color.
This pandemic has put a spotlight on the healthcare workforce disparities that exist within our state, within our country. And this program, this funding that is provided, is a monumental step towards fixing the problems that exist within our healthcare workforce.
Community health centers serve an estimated 1.5 million patients in Illinois every year. The clinics see patients regardless of insurance or ability to pay. The Fighting Illini men's basketball team claimed the Big Ten Tournament Championship yesterday, topping Ohio State in overtime 91-88. Junior Georgie Bajanishvili tried to capture his feelings after the win.
I was trying to collect the whole moment within me. All these people who I've been with every single day working and see them so happy just brings me so much joy. And I was just trying to absorb that. And that was amazing. It was amazing. It was so amazing.
Illinois moves on to the NCAA tournament as the top seed in the Midwest region. They'll play number 16 seed Drexel Friday afternoon in Indianapolis. If the Illini advance, they could face Missouri Valley Conference champion Loyola of Chicago in the second round. Over the weekend, Champaign-Urbana public health officials reported nearly 1,300 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine were administered. The 7-day rolling average of vaccines administered is 937, less than half what it was earlier this month. More than 40,000 people have been fully vaccinated for COVID-19 in Champaign County, which accounts for about 23% of the county's vaccine-eligible population. Still to come, a nurse at a long-term care facility reflects on the last year of the COVID-19 pandemic. That story from Side Effects Public Media is next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Today, we continue our Reflections series, exploring how the lives of Midwesterners have been changed by the pandemic. Agatha Watson is a nurse at a long-term care facility. She kept working, and that took a toll on her and her family. She talks about it in a story produced by Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri.
My name is Agatha Walston, full-time working registered nurse of two incredibly difficult children who I love very much. I live in Clarksville, Indiana, and commute 20 minutes to and from work in Louisville. And it was that evening, afternoon, March 16th, we had a mandatory staff meeting where we locked the residents down into their rooms, and nobody was in, out of their rooms in case we had it in the building. I remember being scared, but because I have a different relationship with mortality because of being a type 1 diabetic since I was 8, it was less scary for me. If I die, I do die. I just want to make sure my kids are taken care of. The gentleman that had left the building in early March was very close with me. I loved this guy so much. He was awesome. He was just one of those dirty old men that it just keeps you laughing. But when he got sick with COVID, he was just so sick. He couldn't get out of bed. And he was the first one to go behind the curtain. And that was the last time I saw him, was in that wheelchair with my CNA, my favorite CNA, rolling him back there. And he was scared. I remember calling his daughter when we'd sent him out to the hospital. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know anything. Nobody knows anything about this bug, but this is bad. And then she wanted me to call and explain everything to her son, his grandson, who's 23 years old. And he took it like a man. And he appreciated, and he thanked me for calling him. And it was really painful because I know he just wanted to see his grandfather one more time. And I still look up his obituary just from time to time, and that was rough. I got my nose swab on April 13th, and my test results came back on April 15th. So I got my positive test, and I remember thinking, well, I'm just going to work until they won't let me work anymore or until I'm dead. And at the time, CDC had said, you know, the positive can care for the positive as long as they're not, you know, symptomatic. And that's when I had the conversation with my children and my parents and my sister and my best friend. And I said, 7 days on a ventilator. If I'm not working after 7 days, if I'm not getting any better, pull the plug, give it to somebody else. So if I wasn't at work, I was sleeping. So my children, they just didn't get to see me. What my daughter went through, she ended up being in the inpatient mental hospital over here and tried to kill herself. My son, he got suspended from school. It was probably about a month ago because he had made the comment. I was off work that day and he made the comment, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to go home and spend the day with my mom because she's off work.
Gotta show my face. Been elusive for so long. This freedom is mine today. Step out on.
I have an anthem. I sing it whenever I need that lifting up. Roll the windows down, no matter how cold or hot it is, and I will belt it out while I'm driving my way to work.
Look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me.
That's Agatha Walston, a nurse at a long-term care facility. This story was produced by SideFX Public Media's Farah Yousri. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see windy conditions with rain today, mixing with sleet at times and a high of 40 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Christine Herman, Rob McCauley, and Farah Yousri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.